Good morning and welcome, my friends. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 8:06. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Trump hosts the Gators, one of your top stories. We'll get into that and a whole lot of the other top stories of the day. But first, Marion County Commissioner Carl Zalek in the house.
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. Good to see you. I saw you on whatever streams on the thing through Marion County. You had your cowboy hat on.
Ready to go.
You were checking the glass-bottom boat. You were hanging out. I think, were you with your kids? I don't know.
So we've been doing this insider guy. We'll definitely talk more about it. But that was actually a daddy-daughter date out at Silver Springs. And so I took my girls out there. We had a great time. One of the things about Marion County that we realize is when we get all our statistics from the people that travel to it and visit Marion County, that many of those people are coming in as friends and family, just like any community, mm-hmm. right? But our folks, overall have a bad statistic in the way that most of them don't know how to take the folks that are coming and visiting and actually enjoying Marion County.
Right.
They might take them down to a theme park. Mm-hmm. They might go take that money and spend it somewhere else.
Or
go to the beach or something like that. And so what this is trying to do is unpack the incredible experience you can have right here at home in Marion County and show them that. So say you play golf. Well, then you know how to take people to go play golf. But you don't know how to take them kayaking and going to Silver Springs and going to the canyons and horseback riding and doing all those kind of things. And so that's what we're trying to reveal and make the Insider's Guide a place where people can be great hosts in their own community.
Yeah, and enjoy it themselves, because how many times do we not enjoy things that are in our own backyard?
Yeah, exactly. Happens all the time.
All right, so, and this is one of the things that Floridians enjoy is boating. And again, Marion County has great outlets for that, and Lake Weir being one of them.
Absolutely.
So on Monday, the governor signed Senate Bill 1388, known as the Boaters Freedom Act. And you want to explain what that's about?
Yeah, so the whole purpose of this bill is to really allow Florida boaters to be free from undue government interference in the enjoyment of Florida waterways. The legislation ensures that boaters who prefer gas vehicles won't be limited by activist local entities. It also maintains statewide protections for wake speeds, manatee zones, seagrass, and the bill, as far as a rights perspective, the governor supported this part of the process where law enforcement will be prohibited to inspect boats without probable cause, which previously conducted what was called the safety compliance checks. So those have now become outlawed.
That I totally agree with that. You should have probable cause. What is the problem? Are they operating their boat erratically? Are they speeding through a wake zone?
Do they seem drunk?
Yes.
Right? Those kind of things.
Yes. But I can tell you, because I experienced this, they climbed aboard a vessel that I was traveling in. I wasn't the captain, but I got to tell you, they were not completely unfriendly, but not very friendly. I don't want to get too far into it, but I just want to say that was their whole thing, is safety compliance. And, we had everything that they were looking for.
Right.
You know what they came up with?
So they're checking for life vests and flare guns.
But you know what they came up with?
Okay.
The registration number, as the way it was presented on the boat, apparently it wasn't the right spacing. I think there is some sort of spacing.
Are we talking like font size?
Similar to that, but spacing between, say, the letters like F and L and the numerical stuff, what the size of the spacing in between. I'm not kidding you.
Oh, my God.
And that, heard that, I go, man, I thought to myself, of course, I didn't say it out loud. I go, and you guys suck.
Right.
I pray that there's not any real emergency or anybody really acting the ass out there.
Sure.
And you guys are looking at the font on the registration of the boat. You suck.
Yep. And that's what boaters have been complaining about across the state of Florida, is the fact that, listen, this is not probable cause. This is not like, at least, you've got a headlight out or a tail light out, and a cop pulls you over. And listen, I don't know what it is about it. Maybe I'm just weird, right? But getting pulled over on the water feels way more intense.
Intrusive.
To me, right? Than getting pulled over in my car. Getting pulled over in my car, you kind of get it, whatever. I don't know. Maybe it's because it happens to you a few times. But out in the middle of the water, man, it just feels, I don't know. There's just something about it. It really, you just see, I had it happen to me one time. You just... I caught the glimpse of the boat speeding up against Crossview, mm-hmm. coming around. They kind of did this little half moon circle and then come up on you and, you know, make the announcement or whatever. I don't know.
Well,
man. Nothing about it felt great.
It takes you out of your fun comfort zone, your recreational mindset that you're having. You're having a good time.
Yeah, we're just hanging out with the family.
All of a sudden,
we're not doing anything wrong. But, I mean, obviously there was other people. And, you know, listen, everything in the Keys, too, the one trip I took down there, it gets more intense when during that lobster season and those kind of things.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. So, after years and years, I finally get to go lobstering. And you know, they have all these inspection sites and all this stuff. And it's like they send every law enforcement agency in the world down to the Keys for this mini season or whatever it was. And I don't even remember anymore, but it's crazy.
You want safety to be number one. And you want people to follow the rules or there won't be a lobster population. But you can find, I think, a happy medium in there. And some of these guys, I don't know why they take the attitude they do, but we're not the only ones who have had this conversation.
Well, and obviously they're not keeping the guy that was in that video telling everybody they was the best boat captain in the world off the water. That's the guy we need the law enforcement for.
Down
holy
at Charlotte
cow,
Harbor,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. This dude was off the chain.
Jumping on another guy's boat.
Yeah. Lucky that kid didn't have a gun.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Man. Well, welcome to the free state of Florida, baby.
So, yeah. The governor. Now, if he could follow that through with open carry, you know, we'd really be in
good shape, huh?
We'll take what we can take. Ocala Marion Veterans Park. I've been pumping them up. Anyway, because they've got good things going on, but a new monument there. What have you got, Carl?
Yeah, so the dedication ceremony, we marked the official unveiling of the plaza from Nicholas Eagle Scouts Project. He completed in honor of military veterans. Man, I love these Eagle Scouts going out there, helping out the Veterans Park. It's a meaningful tribute. That features the flags of each branch of the United States military service as a lasting symbol of respect and gratitude for those who have served our county and our country, especially coming up on Memorial Day. We have an incredible population of veterans, and this weekend, you know, coming up here shortly for Memorial Day, we're going to be celebrating those that never made it home.
No, Ed, you can't. I mean, there's no greater worthy memorial to do. Especially during Memorial Day.
Sure.
When I talk about the scouts that get their Eagle Scout thing, I said they're the black belts of scouting.
They are.
Yeah.
These dudes are bad, man. I mean, and they, you know, I love these kids. You know, some guys obviously, do all kinds of great projects. But these kids that go out there and find all these sponsorships and put all these things together and get all the, right, you know what I mean? That is just, you know, next level black belt type, you know, with black belts with stripes or something. I don't know. But these kids are awesome, man.
let's talk trash for just a minute. What's going on there? I know that you have done a great job, you and the other commissioners and law enforcement, to try to reduce the amount of littering that was taking place in Marion County.
Well, I have to give a shout out to our partners, man. We've got some incredible people with the FWC, U.S. Forestries, a bunch of civics groups, and of course the leader of the litter process that has really shaped Marion County's litter control stuff, Craig Curry, together during Earth Month, going out there, cleaning up and doing all these things. We really focus a cleanup effort in the Ocala National Forest during this time, and together we've collected an impressive 38.5 tons of trash through various initiatives. And it's just amazing. So Central Florida Dog Hunters, continue to go out there and help us in the Ocala National Forest, U.S. Forestries, Gambler 500s, man, these guys were incredible. They received our Extraordinary Effort Special Trophy. They removed more than 20 tons of trash from the Ocala National Forest.
Wow.
Now, these guys, it is, you know, they you have to get a car worth or valued under, you pay $500 or less. And then they go out there and they use that car and they go through the entire forest and they just collect all the trash. They pulled out 7 boats, 2 cars. I mean, these guys were amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is sad that there's 20 tons of trash in the area of a national forest.
I know, but people treat, unfortunately, because this is part of my district, I know, people treat this as a dumping ground.
We like to dump them there.
We had 2 or 3 cases where folks were doing work in Orlando and Daytona and other things.
Oh, that's
they
right.
They drove through and dumped their trash in the Ocala National Forest, and we busted their tails.
Right on. Keep up the good work. Carl Zalek, Marion County Commissioner. That went by too fast. We'll do it again soon.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Have a great day, y'all.
8:16 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Plenty more to talk about coming up on 97.3 The Sky. Here we are, another day in paradise, my friends. Welcome. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 8:21. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Looking for a job? Career Source, Citrus Levy Marion. They're all together. Citrus Levy Marion, CLM, and that'll be important in a minute. They're going to hold a Citrus County Summer Job Fair on Tuesday, June 10th, for anyone eager to land a hot job and a cool career. You like that?
I like the way they're saying that.
It's free and open any job seeker. It takes place 3 to 5 p.m. at the College of Central Florida's Wilton Simpson Citrus Campus on Lecanto Highway in Lecanto. So if you want more information on that, you can just go to their website, which is Career Source, CLM. Right? Citrus Levy Marion, CLM.com. Career Source, CLM.
That's awesome.
And good luck, and hopefully you'll find yourself some gainful employment and possibly a cool career, although I'm sure some of the jobs may involve outdoor work.
Be a hot,
which might not be
cool.
So, but it'd be a smoking hot gig, brother.
There you go. That's
gotta look at it that way. You gotta always have the positive spin on it. Hey, coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to talk to Congressman Byron Donalds. Very well could be the next governor of Florida.
Once he got the tip of the hat, if you will, or the hair, from the president, that I got a feeling that probably changed some folks. It cooled some folks' jets, I'll bet, about thinking about running for the governorship of this fine state.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you think so?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there had been rumors of, you know, Casey DeSantis, other folks out there maybe that have got the background or got the experience or whatever, maybe worked their way towards that. But I don't know. Do you want to go against, you know, the MAGA movement there?
You know, one of the things I noticed is you're not hearing much about Casey DeSantis.
No.
It's like that whole thing just got very, very quiet.
Yep.
So one of the things I want to ask him about is open carry, his stand on open carry.
Yeah.
We know the governor that sits now, DeSantis, he is very much for it, but he can't get the folks in Tallahassee to, at least not enough of them, to get on board. They shut this thing down in committee time after time. They don't even have the courage to allow it to go to a vote.
Oh,
no,
they'll tell you it's dead on arrival. We don't have the vote, so we're not going to look at it.
Yeah. Well, and we've got so many other things to get to. It's like, now, don't run around telling us how free Florida is when you come in about 45th on the level of freedom that you have as a gun owner in Florida versus the other 50 states.
Yeah, it's good marketing. Now, back it up.
Yeah, and back it up.
Yeah.
Hey, Indianapolis Colts, the longtime owner, Jim Irsay, has passed away at the age of 65. This information just came out yesterday. Now, it was his father that purchased the Colts when they were still in Baltimore back in 1972. And what do you think he paid? What do you think he paid? You've got an NFL franchise team, 1972.
Well, you got to think about 1972 value compared to now would be so different. I mean, it's hard to know.
Yeah.
It's going to sound like nothing. Because my mom and dad bought a brand new Pontiac Catalina for like $3,700 in 72.
Oh, that was a nice car.
It was good riding. So, to talk about a whole franchise, I don't know, a few million?
12 million.
12? Okay.
Which, at that time, seemed like a lot of money, because it was a lot of money.
Yeah.
But it's still, even when you figure in with inflation, that is a bargain. That's a bargain, because now they're billion-dollar franchise.
I just said it's probably somebody's salary now.
Well, you know? Yeah.
So,
and not even a great salary.
Not a big one, no.
He moved the team in 1984 to Indianapolis. But Irsay, he's had a share of issues. I think he admitted he had been to rehab at least 15 times. So he battled with drugs and alcohol addiction. And he never, you know, looked really, really very healthy. Just one of those guys. You know what I mean? He looked rough. But anyway, he was a general manager of the team from 82 to 96. And then he became the NFL's youngest owner at age 37. Probably not in a way that he wanted, though, because his father passed away in 1997. So, yeah, Irsay had a lot of health issues and had those battles.
Yeah.
And he had a severe respiratory illness in January of 2024. And he had undergone 26 surgeries.
Oh, my goodness.
Over the last 7 years.
I can't imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. But he is, if you see him, you and you watch any NFL football,
yeah,
there's a good chance you probably recognize him. You go, oh, okay, yep, I remember him. Hmm. So rest in peace, Jim Irsay, the owner of the Indianapolis Colts, has passed away. Speaking of sports, this one's not a good story.
Uh-oh.
Former Texas A&M safety Brian Williams died suddenly over the weekend after completing a half marathon. Brian Williams was 24 years old.
Oh, my goodness, that's young.
Graduated with an engineering degree from the school last year, played three seasons for the Aggies from 2019 through 2021, former top 100 national recruit, ran a half marathon over the weekend in Texas, and then passed away, they say, due to severe heat stroke, reportedly attributed to his participation, that according to his brother in the Dallas Morning News. And, of course, the tributes came out. Many people, of course, were good friends. So 24.
That is way
run a half marathon. You're a very good competitive athlete.
Right.
And then.
That's shocking. Yeah.
I just wonder if there's a myocarditis angle to that whole thing.
It'd be worth asking, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it would. And we're going to ask questions of Congressman Byron Donalds, who is going to be on the show with us just in a few minutes right here on 97.3 The Sky. .32 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. The weekend, well, it's right over there. Happy Thursday. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to talk to Congressman Byron Donalds. Could be the next governor of Florida. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, in a rare press conference, declared that implementing President Trump's relocation plan, a proposal he called so correct and so revolutionary, is a key condition for ending the war in Gaza. Speaking from his office in Jerusalem on Wednesday, Netanyahu emphasized that Israel has a well-organized strategy for the war and confirmed that at least 20 hostages remain alive. He expressed willingness to consider a temporary ceasefire to secure their release. He made it clear that Israel will continue striking Hamas with full force. Operation Gideon's Chariots began 3 days ago. Asked the residents of parts of Gaza, their houses are shaking from the force of IDF's fire. Netanyahu reaffirmed Israel's control over Gaza, stating that all territories will ultimately be under Israeli security control. Our forces are seizing more and more territories in Gaza. At the end, all of the territories in the Strip will be under Israeli security control, and Hamas will be totally defeated. Answering those calling for Israel to end the war in Gaza, Netanyahu stated he is ready to end the war under clear conditions that will ensure the safety of Israel, that all hostages come home. The radical terror group Hamas lays down its arms, steps down from power, its leadership is exiled from the Gaza Strip, and that the Gaza is totally disarmed while we carry out the Trump plan. A plan that is so correct and so revolutionary. So, yeah, hopefully there will be peace soon. But I don't know that Hamas is going to give up that easily. Hopefully, though, they will get to peace, and Israel has no choice but to take over. because it is his job to protect the people of Israel. Right now, joining us, Byron Donalds, congressman, is with us. And good morning, congressman. How you doing, sir?
Doing well. You know, all-nighters never hurt anybody.
Yeah.
We're just happy we got the president's agenda done.
I mean, talk about a squeaker, 215 to 214. Did you think it was going to be that close?
Yeah, I did. But, you know, in politics, like in sports, it doesn't matter what the margins are. Just win, baby. Just win.
So with this... Thank you, Al Davis. With this big, with this big, beautiful bill, you're happy or happy as can be for right now with this bill, and will it retain its current form and get through the Senate?
It'll probably take some adjustments in the Senate. We'll see what they do. But, you know, like I got to give credit to, you know, the Speaker, his team, you know, a lot of members here on the Hill. All parts of the Republican conference. There's been a lot of negotiations, a lot of late conversations, detailed information being shared back and forth, members getting comfortable with various topics. So, you know, it was really an all-hands-on-deck approach to get this accomplished. We'll see what the Senate does with it, but I think we're definitely on track to making sure President Trump has his legislative agenda get through Congress and to his desk.
With the hours that you and many others have been keeping to try to get this BBB through, I got to tell you, your next gig may, by comparison, be a lot easier. When do you start thinking about and working on being the governor?
Nothing's easy in politics, I'll tell you. It doesn't matter if you're trying to get a major bill through or win a campaign. It's really about the work you do day in, day out that really starts to breed success. You know, you really can't get too caught up in the end goal, although the end goal is always winning. You have to really do your work every single day, and then, you know, that inertia really is what gets you across the finish line.
You know, it is interesting in politics today. It was always like, you know, how do we work with the other party? Now it's like, how do you work within your party? And I know that Governor DeSantis has dealt with very much that kind of issue here in Florida. I mean, as somebody who's lived here for a long time, I just go, man, how can you lose? You got all these Republicans in there. I love what the governor's about. I love, you know, that he's very pro-Trump. And, you know, check the boxes, and Florida's just, you know, going to be off the rails successfully. But that's not the case. There's a lot of little power grabbing going on in the Florida legislature. Are you prepared? Should you get this position? Are you prepared to deal with all these folks?
Yeah. Look, I have spent 4 years in the state house. I'm in now 5 years, going on 6 years in the U.S. House. At the end of the day, a lot of this stuff is really relationships. How do you manage them? How do you try to help everybody be successful? And really how you keep the vision going forward. So I think as long as, you know, the vision from the governor is very clear on where he wants to go, and then you try to, you know, help to make sure that, you know, the leadership and members in both chambers can be a part of that vision and also have their own successes along the way, I think you get the job done.
Well, look, and the governor stands for a free Florida, and he's made that kind of a moniker and stuff, and it's deserved in many areas. New legislation just signed off on saying, hey, if you're on the water, the police have the same responsibilities if you're on land now. They have to have probable cause before they could do a safety check, which is itself its own fishing expedition. But my point being, when it comes to Second Amendment rights, we're considered like the 45th state in the country, and I was wondering what your thoughts are on that. Specifically, would you support open carry, and not just support it, would you push for it? Because Governor DeSantis supports it, but nobody will ever let it get out of their committee.
Actually, yeah, I would, and I think that I would support that and would push for it. But I think the bigger thing that we have to get done is really unwinding the red flag laws in our state. When I was in the legislature, when the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas bill came through the legislature, I was a freshman at the time, and I opposed that legislation. And I opposed it because I felt that red flag laws really did take away your Fifth Amendment rights as a citizen. And I also felt that there should not be a two-tier system for adults between the ages of 18 and 21. I felt that was wrong then. I still feel that way now. And so I would tell you that making sure that those two provisions, those constitutional rights are actually restored, will probably be job one.
I am glad that you to hear that you did not vote for this. And I can tell you that I had several conversations with, you know, lawmakers in Tallahassee at the time. And basically, this is what they were telling me. Well, we had to do something. And I'll never forget that line. And that is exactly the opposite of what I think as conservatives, what we want in government.
Well, look, I'll tell you, every time I hear we have to do something, I want to vomit. I actually hate that phrase. I've never been a fan of it. I think at the end of the day, you have to protect constitutional rights regardless of what's happening in politics at that particular time. And, you know, when I voted no on the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas bill, you know, nobody knew who I was. I wasn't doing Fox News hits or any of that stuff. You know, I was a freshman member of the Florida House reading a bill and saying, oh, my gosh, what is this going to do to my constituency? It was at the time, it was a very hard vote because you're going against your own party. Mm-hmm. But, you know, nobody, you don't get elected to be a party guy. You get elected to protect the rights of your people and to just try to do the right thing when it comes to policy and advancing good stuff for the state of Florida. And so taking that vote, you know, really against the party apparatus in Tallahassee was a tough vote, but it was the right vote right then, the right vote today, and going forward, it'll be the right thing.
And one of the other big issues is being a resident here in the Sunshine State is this idea of, you know, not just homeowners insurance, but automobile insurance, I guess insurance in general. I mean, it is a backbreaker for a lot of Floridians now. And I know the legislature's worked on some aspects. They appear to be trying. Do you think you'll have any good and fresh ideas that might, you know, bring us some relief?
Well, a couple things on this. You know, I've been able to have a lot of different conversations about the insurance situations in our state. Some of the early reports this year is that premiums are actually coming down again. And I got to give Governor DeSantis and the legislature credit on this. They did reforms a couple of years ago. It's starting to look like that's panning out. Now, we don't want to rest on that. We want to build upon it. And I think one of the key things, especially in property casualty insurance, is reinsurance rates. You know, most frontline insurance carriers, the people that we write policies with, they actually buy insurance from other companies. So you have to... Those other companies, reinsurance companies is what we call them, they have to have a clear understanding of the risk profiles in the state of Florida. So I think, you know, what we need to do going forward is making sure that they have a full understanding of the accurate risk factors, and then you go from there. So I think it's partly doing that. It's partly maintaining the work that's been done. And then the last piece is really about doing everything you can. If you talk about auto insurance, making sure that we're doing the necessary work in transportation to make traffic flow smoother, try to get out of as many log jams and traffic jams as you can. All that stuff helps to prevent accidents, which actually brings down the cost of insurance for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, somebody else who has kind of a similar profile came up through the Florida House was Marco Rubio, now, you know, the Secretary of State. And way back when he was in the Florida House, he had an idea to raise the sales tax in Florida by 2 pennies, and that would give either great relief or completely do away with the property taxes on Florida homeowners. And it seems like everybody's kind of forgotten about that idea. They act like everything else is brand new. But what's your take on property tax relief? Would you try to do it through a sales tax or some other mechanism or not do anything?
If you can do it, I would probably try to do it through sales tax, because it's really the easiest way to help local governments fill their budgets. It would be similar to how we fund education, where there would just be an overall sales tax increase, and then you have to allocate the additional dollars to local government. But I'll tell you, going the ballot initiative route, I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be harder than people realize. You know, whether it's Alachua County, Levy County, Gilchrist, Washington, a lot of these counties in the central part of our state, the northern part of our state, they really do rely on property taxes, and they don't have the tourism that Miami or Tampa or Orlando or Jacksonville have. They just don't have that tourism factor. So it's interesting how this can work. I did have a conversation with some of our colleagues on Capitol Hill, including Chairman Smith, and with this new SALT deduction that's been put into the House package, actually, I think people in the state of Florida could use these new state and local tax provisions. Everybody's been calling them SALT, to actually help deduct property taxes, their local property taxes off their federal income taxes. So that's something that could be available.
Well, if you have the income level, that could certainly make a difference. I like it. We'll talk more about that. We appreciate your time joining us, Congressman Byron Dallas from our great state of Florida, and maybe a future governor. Who knows? But we appreciate the work you're doing now and getting that BBB through.
Yes, sir. Listen, pleasure to be with you. Thanks, everybody, and we'll keep working.
All right. Stay safe, my friend. It's the Bob Rose Show. It's 8:46. We've got plenty coming up, and we've got speaking of Second Amendment rights, Luis Valdez from Gun Owners of America, he's going to be joining us in a few minutes as well. All right? Happy Thursday. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Can you say go Gators? Indeed. Good morning and welcome. It is 8:50, 10 minutes till 9 o'clock. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And the Florida Gators at the White House yesterday, hanging out with Team Trump.
The team was hot from the very beginning, starting off the year with a 13-game winning streak and roaring to a 27-4 record in the regular season against really, really good competition.
Yes, indeed. Those were some of the most exciting basketball games, NBA or college, that I have witnessed. I just thought it was super exciting. I think the president was impressed. Tim Tebow even stopped by because he is working to promote legislation that would protect kids and, you know, anti-trafficking kind of rules. And it's a bipartisan effort, and so we support him in that. But, yep. The president having a good time. The Gators, of course, bested the Houston Cougars in the NCAA final 65-53, and they became the champions from the 64-team tournament, the Big Dance. And dance they did. Congratulations to a really great young head coach, Todd Golden. The president said, he said, inspiration that he gave these players, incredible, et cetera. So that's a good thing. And we, you know what? We need some good. We need some upbeat stuff because we do have a lot of ugly stuff to talk about and report. Unfortunately, the Israeli embassy staffers shot and killed outside of the Jewish museum. Yeah, 9 p.m. at night coming out of an event. Man. And
so sad.
They were killed.
Yeah.
And they've identified the suspect as Elias Rodriguez, 30 years old, of Chicago, was observed pacing outside the Capitol Jewish Museum before the shooting. He allegedly walked into the institution after the slaying, apparently acting like he was looking for water or something, like he wasn't part of it. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, then he started... you know, shouting things like, pro-Palestinian type stuff. He said, free Palestine. And that was as he was being arrested. I don't know if he's retained an attorney or whatever, but this is obviously ugly, hateful, anti-Semitic. And I don't know, are these protesters on college campuses, are they happy with this? And if they are, wow, what does that say about them and their sick thought process? Yeah. Never allow any political change to come through violence. And we should all stand together on that. But apparently, we don't. And then there's killing people for the color of their skin or holding them down or not treating them properly. Well, that's a very long time problem. I thought as we moved into this modern era, we were beginning to shed ourselves of that. Martin Luther King maybe played a very pivotal role in that, in a peaceful kind of change for the better. But that seems to be forgotten in a lot of circles now. The DEI does exactly the opposite. Let's judge each other by the color of our skin, not by the content of our character or by the content of our abilities. That's what DEI is all about. It's ugly and nasty and needs to go away. The president is doing everything within his power, but apparently even at some corporate levels, they're still engaging in this practice. At universities, they may say they're dismantling programs, but in fact, apparently they're still pushing the same familiar agenda, and it's wrong. Just as wrong as it is for many blacks who are victims of apartheid in South Africa to start murdering farmers. And that's exactly what has taken place. The president called out the president of South Africa. President Donald Trump's meeting with the South African president, Cyril Ramaphosa, featured a surprise video. He showed radical politicians calling for the murder of white Afrikaners. And this does need to be exposed. This kind of behavior should be unacceptable, regardless of what color any of the parties are. Regardless. Everybody should be against this kind of thing. Now, I guess he's claiming that it's really not happening. But apparently about a month ago, he called the 59 Afrikaner refugees that came to the U.S. cowards for running away to the U.S.
Unreal.
Yeah. And apparently there was they showed this area where, you know, they put up crosses and stuff to recognize the farmers had been murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And there was thousands of them. And,
unreal.
You know, President Trump showed that to him. And, you know, he even called on Ernie Els, a golfer from South Africa, who came as part of this delegation. I think, you know, probably to try to smooth things over. And he said, yeah, well, you know, after apartheid, you know, we've still got work to do and we need the U.S. to help us through that process. Well, hopefully in what the president did. Maybe, I don't know, somewhat of a wake-up call. It's interesting how, you know, the media doesn't seem to be as excited or compelled by this. And you have to wonder why that is. Yeah. Praying for the world to become a better place. 9 o'clock stretch is coming up right around the corner. And, of course, we're going to talk to our Second Amendment friend Louis Valdez from Gun Owners of America about suppressors, the big beautiful bill, and a whole lot more. That would be another great reason to have the Bob Rose Show podcast. Just download it wherever you normally get your podcast, click on subscribe, and you will never miss a minute of this fine, compelling show. 97.3 The Sky.